Our next talk, in which is a completely different subject, nematode susceptibility, rankings from soft tissue X-ray imaging. And Dr. McDonald, we appreciate you being here today and presenting on this.
Thank you. Is there a separate mouse or just a pad?
Just a pad.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to be talking about a new method that we've been working on to rank susceptibility of reniform nematodes and also to... Is it picking it up at all? Is this mic on?
I don't think so.
He didn't need
it. Did anybody hear problem hear me talk? Let's see.
I don't know. I have to elevate my voice. I'm going to talk about, can you hear me now? I'm soft-spoken by nature. I apologize. I'm going to talk about some work we've done on coming up with a new method for supporting reniform nematode research and ranking nematode susceptibility. I'm with Phenotype Screening Corporation. We're a root imaging company, and our collaborators included Dr. Bernard and Dr. Onley at the University of Tennessee, and we used for most of our samples the breeding program from Dr. David Weaver at Auburn University. This new method is based on something called soft tissue X-ray imaging. Soft tissue just means that the spectrum of the X-ray images allows you to pick up in your X-ray image soft tissue, like very fine roots, soft tissue roots. Normally you think of X-rays as being something you use with metals, with bones, with high density materials. But it turns out you can adjust your spectrum, part of the X-ray spectrum you use, and pick up even very, very fine root systems. One attribute of this method is that we capture the entire root system in a single image. It's a very high resolution image, and the nematode eggs are very easily identified, counted, and their locations can be documented. For this particular program, we use 6 lines from the Auburn University resistance breeding program. We also use 2 lines from the USDA, 2 resistant lines, the Barbarin 713 line and the Loran 2 line. The rest were all from Dr. Weaver's breeding program. We used an infection density of 1,500 nematodes per 100 cc of soil, and we grew these plants for 6 weeks in the greenhouse. After the 6 weeks was up, we carefully washed the root systems. We had previous data to show egg masses were not removed in the washing process, prepared them for X-ray imaging. This is an example of one of the soft tissue X-ray images. And in this image, you can see clearly the reniform egg masses, which are these structures, round structures, circular structures, that tend to have a bit of a dark ring associated with them. And we worked with Dr. Bernard, who looked at all of these eggs under egg masses under a microscope to identify what was an egg mass, what was soil particles, and then we used his training program to train our analysts in identifying these. And then an analyst went through and clicked and counted every egg mass location, so the computer was able to keep track of where each of the egg masses was located on the root system. You could take those counts now and come up with means by the various lines, and I'm just going to use this slide to go into a little more detail about these lines. This area through here, the big orange and the blue, are the areas of the Auburn program. The USDA resistant varieties are over here, the germplasm, Barbarin 713 and the Loran. So just from the standpoint of mean egg counts, egg mass counts on the root system, you can see that A209 had a very high count in terms of its means. The resistant variety A107 had very low counts. B103, another resistant variety from the Auburn program, had very low counts. But we have a problem here. Barbarin 713 in our trials is not showing up as a resistant variety. The Loran 2 was behaving as we were expecting it. We are a root architecture company, and so the first thing we did is we take a look at the distribution of root sizes at 6 weeks for all of our plants, and found that the vast majority of the roots were below 1 millimeter in diameter. So this is the distribution. The x-axis is the diameter of the root systems. The yellow curve is the cumulative distribution function. So you can see that about 98% of all roots actually fall below 1.2 millimeters. So these are fine roots that we're evaluating in this image, in these images. We break, I want to go back to this image here and just bring out something that makes x-rays a little bit different from traditional imaging. You notice that this root right here, I don't know if people can see that clearly, but it goes behind this big thick root. But in an x-ray image, you don't lose that information. All of the information that's in the direction of your x-ray that zip goes through the root volume conveys information. So we're able to actually see roots, see egg masses that are behind big roots, and that's the big advantage of using x-ray technology. So what we do is we have software that will go through an image like this and only look for roots that are in this diameter size range, and this is below 500 microns, and it would come down there and follow that root right through there, and it would totally ignore this bigger root. And that's one of the advantages of using x-ray technology. So what we do then is we go through that image and we pull out roots that fall within different size classes. Since we have no roots that are large roots, we did not include size class 1 and 2, which get into up to 14 millimeter size diameter roots. Most of our information is down in the below 1 millimeter range. And so what we do is we generate numbers on each of these size classes individually, and we call those signatures. This is an example of kind of seeing everything in one picture. This is for one of the susceptible lines, A209 from Auburn. I have each of the plants image, x-ray images shown there. Down below the x-ray image is a number. That is the egg mass count that we counted for that particular plant. And then down below that is the signature of the three different size classes for one metric that's called the total root length. The total root length is a conceptual number that if you imagine cutting every linear portion of a root off and laying it n by n, you'll come up with a total length of the roots within that size class. And so you can see that these roots here, the A209, which was the biggest root system, or this plant right here, goes up to 12 meters of roots that are in that particular size class. So you can see these signatures go down and up and down and up, and it does roughly, actually perfectly, correspond to the total root length of these images that are up above. Also notice in this particular line, I chose this one because the numbers seem to go up with the size of the root system. And so one of the questions that our team had is, are we seeing a compensatory response of this particular line? The more nematodes it has, the more roots it produces. Or because there's more roots, are there more nematodes that are attacking the line? And we can't answer it from here, but Dr. Weaver has done other work, and he can tell you the answer to that question. So now that we, I showed you how we have each individual plant, now we take the means of those, and so these are the mean total root lengths of each one of the varieties in the trial. And they're showed with standard error. Some of them have a pretty good performance here in terms of the standard error. That's a fairly reasonable size here for the number of reps that we had. But we also had some that were pretty bad, and some of that has to do with stunting. And I think Drew, in his talk earlier, talked about a stunting phenomenon that they were seeing in their breeding program. And so that's why we had some very small root systems and then some big root systems. And for the data I'm presenting right now, we did not call out the stunted root systems. We have another set of data, but for simplicity, we're not showing that here. The other thing that we can do is besides giving you signatures, we can give you distribution. And this is a distribution of the root density as a function of depth by each one of these lines. And when you first see this, it's like overwhelming, and there can't possibly be anything that's interesting in there. But as you get used to it and you start seeing a lot of these things, things start popping out at you. One thing that pops out, if we just look at the Lauren 2 line, the very top one, and this goes from shallow to deeper. I don't know if I put something out. Shallow to deeper root system. The Lauren 2 line has a high concentration, high density of roots, shallow. But you look at some of these others, and they have more of a normal distribution, and they get their higher density of roots at much deeper depths. Is there any correlation between the plant architecture and the population distribution of egg masses? This is the population of egg masses now. So this shows, again, some interesting different profiles to show that the egg masses are actually distributed differently on these different varieties. In almost all the cases, the Loren case at the top and the A107 case at the bottom, the resistant lines have kind of a uniform, low and uniform distribution of egg masses. But some of the other ones have a more of a normal distribution, and some of them have a skewed distribution, again, following from shallow to deep. Now, we can take this information, first of all, looking at the signature information, and we can combine them in different ways. So at the top is, again, this total root length of the various lines. And then in the middle, those numbers are the mean egg mass counts. And then the bottom is the egg mass count now normalized by the length of the root system. So as when we were just counting eggs, you may remember that this A209 had a very large peak of egg masses. In fact, the number is right there for the mean. But when you normalize it, it comes down. And so again, is the impact of the nematodes, even though it has a higher count, as great on it since it has such a larger root system in terms of yield and other performance. This is now a combination of the root depth density, and the black dots is the distribution of the egg masses. So you can see that for each one of these varieties, we have a different root architecture, and we have a different location and distribution of the nematodes. So to conclude on this method, we were able to show, from the study standpoint, we're able to show that his resistant lines, the A107, the B103, in our particular approach, had very low nematode reproduction, and those looked like they were going to be great resistant lines. However, the resistant germplasm Barberin 713 supported much higher nematode reproduction than we had anticipated. All these lines had different root architectures, different distributions of nematodes, and we don't yet understand the significance of that. And when normalized for just a simple normalization of normalizing for total root length, susceptible variety B124 was the best performer, and B227 was the least. And for summarizing the method, this X-ray-based method kind of captures in one image egg mass distribution and architecture. Perhaps this is a way of reducing costs. You don't have to extract the eggs and count eggs individually if it's valid to just make decisions based on egg mass. And root development and nematode distributions can be studied together. Are there any questions? For what we've done here, it was just the feeding site of a reproduction.
These egg masses have the same number of eggs in them. It's just big difference.
You're absolutely right. One of the things we want to do for future work is to size them, not only have the fact that they're there, but also do a comparison on sizes and then see if we can tie that back to something else about viability. Yes, Terry?
What kind of cost is associated with the system?
Well, the system is expensive. We offer a service, that where we try to make that much more reasonable for somebody. Our service is $60 per plant. Yeah. To image and characterize. Yeah.
Obviously, you've tried to automate the egg mass count. What are the limitations to being able to do that?
Well, this was all done manually, everything I'm talking about here.
You know, but root length and all that and root size is already automated. So what are the barriers to being able to count root knot galls or egg mass?
We have really good results using some fairly simple circular structure software. The difference is there are some particles in that same size range, and so we have to differentiate that unique structure where there's a dark ring around the nematode egg masses from other structure that's round in the root system that's probably just minerals, soil particles, and perhaps roots, lateral roots that were stubbed and didn't fully develop.
So you think eventually it'll be a size plus either density or color?
There's no color in X-ray, so it'll all be based on what comes off of an X-ray image. Yeah, and density is the big thing.
How do you differentiate egg mass produced by root knot nematode?
Well, the root knot nematode, we've also done work with root knot nematode, and the galling is a totally different phenomenon than the external egg mass. So we can differentiate, we can see that difference in our images.
The egg mass is also produced outside soil. So how can we differentiate?
For what I'm showing here right now and for the data that we have, we introduce strictly reniform into our trials, yeah. That's premature for me to say what that challenge might be. I'd have to actually look at what the egg masses look like.
All right. I appreciate this.